Father, we find ourselves folding into your word, reaching out for, I don't think half of us even know what we're reaching out for, but we're reaching out for it. God, and I pray for those people that are here tonight that don't even know what they're reaching out for, and I pray that tonight they'd find out that the only thing they're reaching out for is you. Your word has all the answers. Your spirit has all the promises. And all the promises of God are in him, yes. And in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. God, may your word speak a word of knowledge over somebody tonight, a word of prophesy. And may that prophecy be one that takes us to the next point in our life, God, for your word tells us that we go from glory to glory. We want the next phase of glory in our lives, God. And if there's anybody here that's on their last leg, man, they don't even know what they're doing here, but they're here. God, I pray, speak to that person's heart tonight and let them know that the plan that you have for them is a plan of good and not evil, to give them a hope and a future. May your word speak life, for your word tells us that you have set before us life and death, therefore choose life. May you cause all darkness to flee, and may we be able to say, death, where is your victory? Hades, where is your sting? For you, Lord Jesus, everything. Amen. I'm going to be introduced tonight to one of the most popular key figures in all of Scripture tonight. A prophet who did amazing, amazing things in the power of God. We're going to see him for a few chapters all the way in. Right in through the New Testament he's referred to. And we're going to see that the power of faith is the greatest power in the world. To believe that God's promises will come to pass and to know that you have to do absolutely nothing except believe and walk in them for them to come to pass. Because what I'm about to read you tonight, it's very easy to tell yourself, it's fairy tale, of course. In doing this, you seem to read the Bible and we seem to get so used to, oh yeah, well, Christ rose from the dead. Oh yeah, you know, the Moses parted the Red Sea thing. We stop being astonished because it becomes like this fairy tale. We file it in our brain under, oh, it's the Bible. Listen, what we're reading tonight is history. And as my pastor used to say, it's his story. This stuff really happened. Written down, thousands of years have passed, and not one has been refuted in a manner for anybody to say, look, it didn't happen, and here's why. And believe me, they've tried. With that thought in mind, I introduce you to Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead. Said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word. Please give me your attention. This prophet, this calling, you will see all through Scripture and all through history, whether it be a president, a king, whether it be for good or for evil, every time there was a king, there was always a prophet. There was always a man of God, a seer, S-E-E-R, someone who proclaimed, you're doing right, you're doing wrong. And if you ask Jeremiah, what a really cool job to have. Being a prophet in the time of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah wasn't a swell job. You're going to see that Elijah earns the prophet's reward. You'll learn, come to see what that is. You guys remember we looked at Ahab, one of the worst kings that ever was. Ahab Even Ahab found mercy from God, though, when he called out to him. Amazing. But Ahab, we introduced you to, if you remember last week, we introduced you to his wife, Jezebel. Just the worst human being ever in the Bible. That's all. Jezebel, so foul and wicked, not only did she worship Baal, Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, the evil one, the wicked one. We know, if you guys remember, we talked about it. Baal was the word used for the sun and moon god. It was when you wanted a blessing, you called upon Baal. He was the weather god. Became the strongest and mightiest of the gods, so that they started to name other gods after him. This woman, Jezebel, so worshipped him, so on fire for her god she was, that not only did she insist on removing the prophets of, as you're going to learn next week, next week is so cool too, man. Next week we're looking at the contest on Mount Carmel. You Bible geeks know exactly. You're like, I can't wait for that. Sorry, you got to bear through this week. But she so wanted to get rid of the prophets of Israel that she killed them and imported 400 prophets of Baal. Jezebel. Whew. Elisha the Tishbite, obeying the voice of the Lord, goes to Ahab and says, listen, for the next 3.5 years, it ain't going to rain. Now you might ask me, wait a second. How do you know it's 3.5 years? Well, you're going to find out later in this scripture, but also, if you guys remember 5th chapter of James, Elisha said it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years, and by faith, it didn't. Right? Faith. Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Please give me your attention. The word of the Lord comes to Elisha and says, you know what? It's probably a good time to get out of here. They're going to start blaming you for this drought. Now, let me paint the picture before the picture is even painted in Scripture. If we have a drought in Florida, we get a letter in the mailbox that says, do not water your lawn except on Saturdays and Tuesdays or something like that. When we have a really bad drought, our lawn turns brown and some of our flowers die. When they have a drought in the Middle East, in Bible times, people die. Lots of people die. Good, faithful, God-fearing, God-loving people can't figure out why God is mad at them, and they call upon God and say, God, why are you letting my crops die? And the dichotomy between the American Christian church, who thinks that every time you have more people come to your church, God's blessing you, who tells you that every time you have more money in your bank account, God's blessing you, who tells you that if things are going right in your relationship, God's blessing you, and there's people today dying by the hundreds who believe in God, that God is well pleased with. They're having their heads chopped off. They're being burnt alive. They're being sown in two. Something don't work out in our brains when we read stuff like this. However, let the painting be painted by God's word. First, I just wanted to drop that in your brain until we get to it. Elijah goes, and he goes to a place, and this place where he is, the brook Kereth, is about 80 miles away from where he is, scholars say. And I want you to see that God called him into the desert, otherwise known as the wilderness. It's a funny thing God did that to his own son at the start of his ministry. Called him into the desert. 40 days he was there. Some say Elijah was here for some 2 years. Not coincidentally, it was the same time that the Apostle Paul was in the desert of Saudi Arabia. Now, why did I paint this picture for you? And here's why. Here's the first part of today's message, guys. God wants to build us up in the faith. Now, we could have faith in a lot of different ways. We could believe that God's word says that if I take my 10% and bring it to the storehouses, that God's going to open up a blessing and we put some money in the box. And God's well pleased with that. But every once in a while, when you go past the rudimentary, when you get past the milk of the word, which most of you guys coming on a Wednesday night should be, because people who aren't past that don't go to church on Wednesday night, unless things are really screwed up in their life, and then I could say anything, and they're going to be like, guys, give it to me, give me the word, of course. God says, I'm here. And we say, I know. And God says, are you sure you know? God says, I know. I mean, we say, I know. God says, I'm here. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, the craziest thing happens. You know what God says? Nothing. Nothing. And here we are, a few years into our walk, and our prayers feel like they're hitting the ceiling. The word is just like reading the newspaper, man. It's just nothing. And you're like, did I talk myself into this? I mean, maybe I was just in a bad place at that time, and I went to church, and it was like just something new. And you remember, well, I was reading the word, man, and it's so spoke. He said, behold, I make all things new. And you even try to talk yourself into that emotion. Maybe I should go to a different church. And I heard the worship over at Abundant Life is crazy. I heard about this church and the preacher, man. And God says every once in a while this, be still and know that I'm God. And when you can't hear my voice, believe, because the word says, I hear every prayer you pray. Believe and pray with deeper groanings that can't be uttered. When you can't hear God speaking back to you, when the voice was so clear at one point, and you feel like you want to be like a Dish Network thing. And just, wait, no, it's coming from that. And you just cry. Where are you? You are in the wilderness. You're in the desert. You say, why would God put me in the wilderness? He put his son there. You better than his son? Put Elijah there, put Saul there, became Paul. If you're in this place, there's only one response, faith. I'll never forget the first time God put me in the wilderness. I got out of prison in 1997, so on fire for the Lord. Man, it's just everything. I remember putting away my music. I threw out all my crap music. And I just remember just God was so close to me all the time. And I just remember one day, it was like in the middle of prayer. I was praying. I was like, Lord. And all of a sudden, it was like an angel came and just cut the cord. Pop. Hello? This feeling of weight was on my head and shoulders. It was just this weird, God, not there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, or am I alone here? Okay, all right, so. And it lasted weeks. I mean, I felt like I was coughing up clouds, man. I was picking up and reading that word, and man, it was just like nothing. Went to the beach, climbed mountains that weren't in Florida. And I was like, I'm not gonna let you go. I remember talking to Owen, my pastor at the time. He was my day-to-day pastor. And I said, Pastor, this crazy thing happened. And I started describing the feeling, the sensation. And he said to me, well, problem number one is your feeling. We don't walk by feeling, we walk by faith. Problem number two is, welcome to the wilderness. And he said, what are you going to do? And I said, what do I do? You got me into this mess. He's the one that brought me to the church. So he says, tell me what you're going to do. I said, look, man, God's forgiven me my sins. That much I know. So even if this is the rest of my life, I guess I'm going to just fake it. And he says, that's what you do. Fake it till you make it. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. He's not giving up on you. You'll hear his voice again. And I wish I can tell you that that is where I first started fasting. I started fasting. And I wish I could tell you that I remember the day that God just like opened up the floodgates. But I don't. It just kind of slowly, I'm back. That's it. It's kind of a weird thing. It never was this, I was running and all of a sudden. It's one thing. By the way, guys, if you ever want to do something really cool, any of you guys are runners, joggers, put worship music in your ears when you're running. And when you get past that point where your body is telling you to quit, God's going to put the song on that just brings your spirit to a new level. And man, it'll tattoo your soul in ways that are so beautiful. I'll never forget. And it's one of those things where if you have any of those worship songs that every time you hear them, it reminds you of something, that's what it's going to be. I'll never forget. I listened to Rita Springer running down my block. It's 95 degrees. I'm turning a corner on 2.5 miles. I got 0.6 of a mile to go. Turn that corner. I was made for war. I was made for battle, Lord. I remember turning that corner and the sweat's pouring off me. My body's like, just quit. Just walk. Who's looking? I was like, no, I'm going to make. That's the type of thing that brings you out of wilderness, guys. That's the type of thing. You go, I don't care if I don't hear your voice. I am going to live this life. Because it's when you're in the wilderness, guys, that the devil whispers at you. That's what he does. Come here. I got a business deal for you. You're going to love it. And you go, God, are you cool with this business deal? He didn't say nothing. I guess he's cool with it. Hey, Ryan, it's your old friend. You want to hang out? I miss you. I'm married now, dang. Oh, man. One for old time's sake? No. No. By faith? No. By remembrance? No. I'm going to get through this desert. I don't care if it takes 2 years like it did Elijah, because what happens when Elijah comes out of this wilderness? What happened when Saul came out of this wilderness? What will happen when you come out of this wilderness? God will have burnt off so much of your junk. You'll be less angry. You'll be more joyful. Ravens will feed you. Verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Please give me your attention. Here's a crazy thing that happens when you're in the desert. You go in the desert, and you're like, man, I'm in the desert. I'm just in a dry season. Christians use that as an excuse all the time. Man, I'm just in a dry season. It's in the desert. Yeah, but I can't hear God's voice, man. God's just not there. Well, he's going to command the ravens to give you bread and meat. And I don't remember those ravens. Did you drink from the brook Cherith? Yeah, I did. Well, I thought there was a famine in the land. I thought there was a drought in the land. Yeah. Where did that brook come from? And then all of a sudden it just dried up when you had enough. God will sustain you, and most of the time you won't realize it till you get to the other side of that. You're going to look back at that time in the wilderness and you're going to go, yeah, I guess God did sustain me after all. I just couldn't see it. I just couldn't hear it. I couldn't feel it at the time. But looking back, somehow, I got through. Example. How many of you guys have gotten a check in the mail that you had no idea where it was coming from, it wasn't expected, but you were down to your last buck and all of a sudden, man, it hit? How many? Anybody? Ravens, guys. The ravens will give you bread. Ravens will give you meat. God commands them to. He will not leave the soul, the famished soul, unfed, the Bible says. I will feed the famished soul. Doesn't promise to give you steak dinner. Might not be Morton's. Dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. First thing is, I want you to know two very germane things to this. Number one is something about him that this woman knew he was a prophet. Number two, this woman happens to be a Gentile. This is not a Jewish woman. Very important. The Lord Jesus Christ preached a message to the Jews when after he was finished. You guys remember, I think it was in Luke 4, where he says, he quotes from Isaiah and says, the Lord has anointed me to preach the word. And then he closes the Bible and then he preaches a message. And basically he says to them, you know what? You don't want nothing to do with me? Just like Elijah, I'll go to the Gentiles. And so PO'd they were at him, they tried to throw him off a cliff. Oh, the Gentiles. You're bringing blasphemy! Blasphemy! We think if we pray for somebody who's not saved, well, I'm not going to pray for them. Why? Because they don't even know the Lord. Maybe God wants to do a miracle in their life to get them to know the Lord. Well, that's not fair. I think God can do what he wants with his things. They're his things. Next time somebody's hurting and they don't know the Lord, maybe that's the time. Watch God do a miracle in somebody. Listen, there's nothing scarier than watching God do a miracle in a non-believer's life and then they still don't come to the Lord. I've seen that. Like, wait a second. God healed you of cancer and you still don't believe in God. Wow. Anyway. So he sees this woman. He says to her, hey, do me a favor. Would you get me a drink? She looks and goes, no problem. While you're at it, give me something to eat too. In Jewish terms, they call this chutzpah. You got some chutzpah here. Verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Apparently, he's been in the wilderness, some say, for 2 years. The drought is severe. She has this much oil, a little bit of flour left. She says, I'm gathering sticks. I'm going to cook my son some bread. This is our last meal. The oil has run out. The flour, this is it. This is our last meal. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourselves and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Faith. Now, is he going to sit there and say, listen, let me tell you the things that God just did for me, man. Ravens just brought me meat. And no. He's now using his faith immediately. He's like, you know, God, you've been so amazing. I hear your voice so clear now. So led now, Elijah was by the Spirit, so filled with the craziness of faith that he says to the woman, can you get me some water? And somehow, and you guys know, I've used this analogy before. You guys remember those little pills with a sponge in it that used to sell the kids? You put it in water. It's a little pill you put in water, and all of a sudden the next day the kid wakes up and it's like jumping out of the cup. How'd they get that little sponge in there? That's how God speaks to us. Like I said, I've used this analogy before. You guys have been coming to this church long and probably sick of this analogy, but tough. When God speaks to you, it's not like a phone call. Okay, go ahead. Wilderness, 2 years. Ravens, got it. Go to his town. Old woman. Not old woman. No, sorry, I didn't just assume. Get me water, then get me food. She's going to say she's going to die? She's a Gentile. Oosh. It's not like that. It's like all of a sudden he just drops this thing in you. Boom. And you're like, boom, the whole thing's there. Like, wow. I don't know how I knew this, but somehow I know this type of thing. But it takes faith. And let me tell you what it takes, guys. Wilderness faith. Wilderness. And I say this in humility, and my wife knows. When I speak a word of prophecy, when I prophesy over your life, when I'm praying and you go, oh my goodness, how'd you know that verse? I just read that. How do you think that happened? You think that happens by accident? You think it's coincidence? No. I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I've spent a lot of time in prayer. For almost 10 years, me and my family did a prayer meeting at Calvary Fort Lauderdale every single Sunday for 3-4 hours at a time, flat out in prayer, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, that might sound like a lot, but I've never been 2 years straight in the wilderness hoping that ravens are going to bring me meat, wondering why they didn't show up the next day, and the whole time just saying, God, I want to hear you. I've told you. No, it wasn't you guys, was it? No, it wasn't. I told Ken's church when I was up in Maine. Listen, I get up to Maine, he tells me, I want you to teach my men's conference. He told me this a few months ago. So I go up to Maine, and I get there. We get there, where did we land? On Monday night? He says to me, would you teach my church on Wednesday? In the men's conference too? Yeah. Okay, no problem. I got a message somewhere. God, I need it now. This is Ken Graves' church. Man, what am I going to tell these people? Most of the stuff that I tell my people, stuff he's told me, they already know everything. I'm going to say, God, you got to give me something. So here's what I tell them. I said, guys, there's no shortcuts. Prayer, there's no shortcut. You see, the secret to prayer is secret prayer. There is no shortcut. You can't be like, no, I'll just pray in a shower today. You get a shower prayer out of that. That's all. Your blessing is a shower prayer. You got to spend time in prayer. So I preach a message on Wednesday, and then Saturday I preach a message. And right after the message I preach, he goes, oh, you're up again after this next guy. So you didn't tell me I was preaching twice. You only said once. And Ken's not like a talkative guy, and he doesn't really care, you know. So he says to me, he wasn't actually saying it to me. He said to one of his guys, he goes, well, Billy Ryan. And I said, when Ken walked away, I said, did he just say I was preaching again? Yeah. And I'm like trying to play it cool, right, because I'm the visiting pastor. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Got this. Well, the next guy was praying, God, speak to me. Bible bingo. This is the way it's going to work this time, God. Spend a couple years in the wilderness, you'll have something to say. It's, of course, if you want something to say. If not, if everything's cool the way it is, then number one, you're a liar. Number two, it don't have to stay that way. God will come and answer your prayers. God will come and rescue your miserable life, as he did my miserable life, as he still does my miserable life. But it ain't going to happen sitting around waiting. This is not the want ads. I remember being 22 years old, living on my cousin's couch. Should you get a job today? No, but I looked in the paper. We didn't have this thing called the internet back then. Looked in the paper. I'm going to make some calls. It's 12 o'clock, Ryan. It's the afternoon. Yeah, I was up late. There was a movie on last night. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I made some calls, man, but, you know, I remember I was working at, I finally got a job. I was working at the Olive Garden on US 1, which is now like a Chinese restaurant. And I remember I'd have lunches, and lunches were easy. And they said, hey, Ryan, you're doing a good job. You want to work nights to make more money? I was like, yeah, I'm down. And I remember, how many of you guys have ever been in food service? Okay, enough of you guys. And you, from lunches to dinners is a big deal. When you got like 6 or 7 tables going, and you got a 5 top here, you got a 10 top there, and you got to remember everybody's order and be nice and smart and smile. And you oh, thank you very much. And I was like, and you walk out the door and you're like, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me this. You walk. I remember going home after working that job for about 3 months and saying to my cousin, I'm quitting. And she was like, please don't quit. I'm like, it's ridiculous. I got to set myself on fire every night. Every night I go to work, man, I have to go crazy. I leave there, I'm a nervous wreck. And my cousin was one of those pacifying people, telling everybody what they want to hear. Oh, I understand, I understand. And then like 3 months later, she's like, you need to leave. Why? I thought we were getting along great. You never said anything about it. You're a bum, Ryan. I'm like, I'm going to get a job. It's like, no, you quit your last job because you had to set yourself on fire. That's life, son. Setting yourself on fire, that's life. You need to grow up. I remember thinking to myself, why is she being so mean to me? I look back now going, why wasn't she meaner? This is life. I have no idea what I had to do with what I was preaching, but I just, I'll get back to it. Where did I get that from? I don't know. I hope that was for somebody here, not just myself. So he tells her the bin shall not be used up, the flour, the oil, so forth and so on. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. What is faith? Obedience to God's word in action. That's faith, guys. Obedience in action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Knowing that verse doesn't save you. Living that verse saves you. Oh, you sound like you're laying a works trip on us. No, I'm not. If you don't make the Lord, then what do you got? A Bible verse tattooed somewhere in your memory? I'm sorry. That's not making Jesus Lord. That's not believing in God. Where I heard a guy say one time, it's more than just knowing. You can't just believe in God. You got to believe God. The Bible says that the devils know that there's a God and they tremble. She believed him anyway. So she did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This is pretty crazy. She's like, I got nothing else. This is it. Me and my son are going to die. But every day she went up, took a little oil, took a handful of flour. Now you'd think the neighbors would be coming by. God ever done anything like that for you? This is crazy. Maybe it's that thing I was talking about with the check in the mail the last minute. This is pretty insane stuff, and it happened. But as it does happen, after these things, verse 17, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And it never says how old the son is. But apparently, he dies. And isn't the craziest thing that tragedies happen right after the blessing? You go into the wilderness, you hear the voice of God. No, first you get saved, then you don't hear his voice, then you go into the wilderness, then you come out. Why is this? Why is this always refining fire, always? Why can't things just be good like in that church up the block where they tell you the word of faith if you just speak it, and if it's really things going wrong in your life, it's your own fault because you don't believe enough. Why isn't that? Because this is what a Christian looks like. You're either going in or coming out of a trial. That's it. You're going in, you're coming out. That's what a Christian looks like. That's what it looks like in the Bible anyway. And then long about the time you're perfected, you die. Just when you figure this out, I think I got it figured out. Bye. She's so freaked out that she still thinks God's mad at her. It's just like so many people. Something bad comes on them and they think, my crap's rolling downhill. That's what they say. My crap's rolling downhill. What did you come here for? Can you imagine the woman? This woman's son dies. This is what I get saved for? This is what you bring to me so that God remembers my sin? She must have been carrying a heavy load. Maybe she was a prostitute, dancer in some club or something like that. Maybe she slept with a bunch of guys. Maybe, like me, she came to the Lord, and all of a sudden she realized that the life that she was living was atrocious. I didn't know. I had no idea. I was clueless. I came to the Lord, started reading the Bible, started hanging out with Christian people. I was like, wow, I am a piece of garbage. I had no idea. Pay your taxes? And that's the least of my worries. Not cheat on your wife? Oy. I'm in a mess. For me, guys, it's prison. I got saved a year and a half later, I had to go to prison. And the voice of the enemy so clear in my ears. This is what happens when you go, all right, go to church. Go to church, church boy. Think this is bad? It's going to get a whole lot worse. I ain't listening. I'm going to go. It's going to be like Bible college. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to get the whole prison saved. I was just young in the Lord, I thought. I'll be the only Christian in all the prison. There's a lot of jailhouse Christians in there. Let me tell you what. I learned so much. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, laid him on his own bed. Now what happens is that back then in these houses, they would have this loft area and they would do this stuff on the roof. And in the roof, a lot of times they would grow, they would have a garden. And right under that garden area, there'd be like a little, almost like a loft area. And that's a lot of times where the people who have guests stay. It's still like that in the Middle East and a lot of these places. So he brings the kid up there, laid him down in the bed, and he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? Please give me your attention. He didn't say it like that. You ever do that? You ever become a blessing in somebody's life and have no explanation for the junk that's happening in their lives? Listen, that's my life as a pastor. You come in my office, we see God do amazing things, they get saved, oh, hallelujah, their sins are forgiven, and all of a sudden, all literally hell breaks loose in their life. And I go, and sometimes, like, this is why I'm bringing people to church, God? This is why I'm inviting people to you, so that this can happen? Now, it sounds almost like you're being, you know, irreverent. Almost disrespectful. But Elijah did it. David did it. There's no problem with asking God why. No problem with that. As long as you maintain respect, of course. Of course, he's still God. He has that right to do those things in our life. Again, let me read that. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms. He grabbed the dead baby off her bosom, according to King James. carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? This? Crying out to God, you might as well cry out to God. Guarantee you, if it was your son, you'd cry out like that. You got a lost kid? Any of you guys have a lost kid? How do you pray for the kid? Dear God, save my son. What's for dinner? No. God, before they die and go to hell, please. Take me instead. I will gladly go to hell that my son, that my daughter might live with you. Who wouldn't cry out that prayer? You got an unsaved husband, unsaved wife, unsaved mom or dad? How you pray? Thanks for the meat, God. And save grandma. She's so wicked. Amen. Look at this. Two prayers, so heartfelt. Look at again at verse 18. What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, to kill my son? And he takes the prayer right from her. Same heart. I'm sure that his voice had that same brokenness. Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Three times. I want you to think about yourself. I got to think about whether I should tell you this story. I'm going to. I want you to think about, you're being a fly on a wall. You're watching this thing go down, and he takes this dead kid, who knows how old this kid is, and he lays the kid on the bed, and he throws his body on it. God, bring this kid's soul back! Gets up, and he's like jumping on the kid again. I mean, this is weird. This is crazy stuff. We had this guy, Tony, that used to go to church here. Tony was like the most evangelical, wonderful human being. How many guys remember Tony Musabe? Okay, everybody remembers Tony Musabe. Tony dies of cancer. Blown away. Like, it's one of the things you walk away going, this is total proof that the American church is backwards, because if this guy should die, I should die first. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? One of those guys. Like, everybody loved Tony. His wife calls me up and she says to me, we're going to pray that God resurrects him. Excuse me? We're going down to the funeral home and we're going to anoint his body with oil. And we're going to ask God to raise him up. Whew. Man, I was like, whoa, this is a little on the weird side. Now, I didn't get an invitation. They didn't invite me. They just told me what they were doing. I don't know what I would have done if they would have invited me. But I thought it was weird, man. He didn't raise up from the dead. Needless to say. Otherwise, well, he probably wouldn't have been sitting there anymore. But unless we'd be talking about him. But I could see it. Why not? Why not? Why not try? Sometimes God says no. Is that all right with us? Do we think, now how many of you guys believe that God can bless a spaghetti meal so that when you're eating it, the blessings of God fill your life? I believe that. I believe that. Now, how many of us that also believe that, well, that's an okay blessing, but raising somebody from the dead, that's a little bit different. Not to God, it ain't. Nothing. Blessing on a spaghetti meal, raising Tony from the dead, wouldn't have been any harder. This is pretty crazy here, guys. One time Paul was preaching, and he preached so long that a guy fell asleep, fell out a window, and died. I'm trying to do that tonight. So that I can throw myself on your body three times, not ladies, I promise. I'll have somebody else. This is so insane. And you understand, when I read the Bible, I'm not reading it from a story perspective. I'm like, it's like to me, I am reading the newspaper. And I'm just like, you what? Look, I'm a minister the same way that this guy's a minister. And I can honestly say, I've never had somebody more. I say, listen, don't worry, kid's dead, but I'm gonna go pray for him, ask God to raise him from death. You can't fill people with that kind of hope. They'll crush them. Well, will you? Or does God know a little more than we know about it? I mean, one, God looking with eyes across the whole world, looking for somebody who's got a little bit of faith. Or how about a lot of bit of faith? Somebody who will say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. God's looking for faith. That's why he put you in a wilderness, to build up your faith, so you do this. Peter felt pretty stupid walking on the water. But man, what a story he's got to tell. In heaven, I'm sure it's like people are sick of hearing it. I mean, he's been there a long time, right? And he's going to be there a long time. But I'm sure every time you have dinner with Peter, it's like, you know, and everybody pictures Peter as this big, massive, you know, fisherman guy, giant arms and hand, big deep boy. Did I ever tell you a story about the time I walked on the water? I go to the bathroom, I'll be right back. And you go outside and be like, what's going on? Peter's telling the story about walking on the water again. The only person to walk on the water except the faith! Believe. Believe. Verse 22, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said, Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Only took him raising somebody from the dead, that's all. But you know what I take that as? Showing a non-believer your faith in a way that will blow their flipping mind. Not a believer. Hey, I have no problem praying with Christians. I love it. You know, absolutely. Ryan, can you pray? I get calls almost every day. Hey, bro, pray for this. Hey, bro, pray for that. Hey, bro. But a non-believer going to that person. Hey, I heard your son is sick. Would you mind if I go to the hospital and pray for him? We pray for Hunter. Anybody want to go to the hospital and anoint him with oil? Pray for a miraculous healing? His family doesn't know the Lord. John, are you down for that one? They're going to make fun of you. But maybe you'll be able to say, see, your son lives. And they'll look at you and go, now I know that the word of the Lord that is in your mouth is the truth. Because you were not afraid to have faith. Why do you think God's got you where he's got you? Now you can pray, God, put me in that situation where I need to pray for somebody who's dying. I want to raise somebody from the dead with faith. God, put that person in my path. Put them in my path. I want to go to match.com. Oh, he's ugly. Go down, feed some homeless people. Find a drug addict in the street. Next time you're driving down the road, you see some. See, Stephen was in church on Sunday. Ever see Stephen in church on Sunday? We had the homeless guy that was in the back, the demon-possessed guy. Notice how calm he is when he's here? You go outside, you'll see Austin praying over him all the time. Some of the other guys. Don't give me money. That's a mistake. Just give me your prayers. Faith, man. What if you fail the test of the wilderness? What if you don't? What if you rely on your own strength? What if you walk away from God? Here's the crazy thing about God, guys, and here's the last thing, and I'm going to let you leave after this because nobody's going to fall asleep, I can see. Either that or you're sleeping with your eyes open. Yeah, wise guy, I knew it. That'd be you, right? Johnny. You know, Johnny used to be just like that. Johnny used to talk out in every single service. And at the time, bro, we were at the hotel. This is going back like 7, 8 years ago. Bro, listen to me, serious. Every time somebody would talk out in church, everybody would just go, Johnny. Now they go, Kurt. I love you, bro. He's still here. He's still here. And his wife's still with him. That's even crazier. What was I saying? Huh? People falling asleep. Right. I remember now. If you fail the test, you know what happens? You just take it over again. There's no failing in God. You don't, God never gives you a fail. That's it. You screwed up. That's it. You're out. You don't graduate. You're done. He doesn't. You know what he does do, though? He goes, don't worry. There'll be another test tomorrow. How many times you want to fail that relationship test? How many times you want to fail that finance test? How many times? No problem. You can go to heaven with all these and have Peter, instead of telling the story about walking on water, goes, there's the dude that failed the relationship test like 19 times. It's crazy. So how many girlfriends did you have? Ugh. Man, if you're in the wilderness, God's going to pull you out. But when he pulls you out, be ready to do something insane for him. Faith that'll move a mountain. Pray for somebody crippled. Pray for your spaghetti. No, come on. That's not why you went through the wilderness. You know what I mean. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is amazing. God, it is amazing. I can't wait to see that DVD in heaven of Elijah throwing himself on this kid. I almost dread hearing the screams of this woman with her dead son, God, but just to know how it works out, oh, Lord, and to find out what this kid turned out to be, God, I so long for the details more and more. And until I do, God, every time you take me in the wilderness, help me. Feed me with ravens. Give me the brook Kereth. God, for anybody that's here, help them to see the ravens in the brook. Help them to be strengthened in faith and not be afraid. Here I am, send me, like Isaiah said. Please forgive me for weakness of faith. God, may never, ever do I want to hear those words. Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. I want to be like the centurion, God, that blew your mind. I want to hear you say, I have not seen such faith even in all the nation of Israel. May it be said of me, I was a man of great faith, God. And I pray that that hunger burns in the hearts of everyone who has heard your word. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.